Let me add a prayer request tonight. We've got in January 15th, 16th, and 17th, we have our Passing the Mantle winter revival. We've had it in February the past couple of years, but this year we're having it in January the 15th, 16th, and 17th. It'll be in the bulletin this week. And hopefully we'll have invitation cards sometime in the next couple weeks, hopefully. But Brother Chris Dallas will be here with us, again preaching. And also Pastor Fugate is going to be here this year with him. And then also William Davis is going to be with him as well. And y'all know Brother Chris and Pastor Davis. They've been here a few times. And hopefully that Monday or Tuesday night, you pray. We're trying to figure all the details and everything out. We try to have a youth rally with Brother Davis, and Brother Davis has a teenager's heart, and I was talking to Brother Dallas yesterday, and he said, yeah, and he's got a teenager's mind, too. That's why he's so good with teenagers, but pray for that, as it'll be coming up very, very soon, the 15th, 16th, and 17th, and Brother Dallas and Brother Davis will be here the 15th, and then all three of them will be here the 16th and 17th. And Brother Dallas and Pastor Fugate will be preaching Monday and Tuesday night. Brother Davis will be teaching, preaching to the teenagers those two nights. So really looking forward to that. Be in prayer about it, if you would. Looking forward to them being with us. Proverbs chapter number 2 tonight. We began 2 weeks ago here in Proverbs chapter number 2. And we began with a message entitled, "We Reap What We Emphasize." We reap what we emphasize. And we want to continue that tonight, and Lord willing, finish that up tonight. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the words received. We looked at the work required. And tonight, we're going to look at the wisdom reaped. The wisdom reaped. And we reap what we emphasize. That's just another way of saying we reap what we sow, right? But we reap what and where we emphasize. What we place a great emphasis on in our lives. By the way, whether that's in our personal lives, in our businesses, in our jobs, if we place an emphasis in an area, that's where we're going to reap. Okay, what we emphasize is what we're going to reap. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 2, let's just begin reading again in verse number 1. "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding." Again, notice that word "if" as we go down through here, if you would. The Bible says in verse 3, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures." There is work required. There are words that are to be received, and then there is work required. That is true for any area of our lives. If we want results, we have to put in the work. Right? You with me tonight? In your personal life, in your job, if you want to reap, if you want to see the results, you got to put in the work. We live in a day, and I submit this to us tonight, we live in a day where everybody, where Christians desire the product, but we don't want to put in the work that's required to get that product. It takes work. And the Bible here, Solomon is saying, look, if you'll do these things, if you'll receive the word, if you'll put in the work that is required, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, and then we have that word then. There's where the reaping begins to come in verse number 5. "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth," what's the word there? Wisdom. That's where wisdom comes from. It comes from His Word. "For the Lord giveth wisdom." Excuse me. "Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity.
yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. I want to say a lot there in verse 17, and maybe we will in just a moment. We need to help and we need to encourage our young people that they don't forget the guides of their youth. Verse 18, for her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the ways of good men and keep the paths of righteous, of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Last 2 weeks ago, we looked at the words received, if. The words received, the Word of God, if you will receive. And then we looked at the work required. The work required in verses 7 and 8. We saw in verses 7 and 8, or really all the way down to verse number 8, if thou wilt hide, if thou wilt incline, if thou wilt apply, if thou wilt criest, liftest, seekest, and searchest. And then in verse number 4, the Bible says, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Look, when we seek and search, there is an expected end. There is an expectation. What do we expect when we seek and search? We expect treasure, don't we? So the Bible says in verse number 4 that we're to seek after her. We're to seek after the Word of God. We're to search in the Word of God. And so tonight, let's look at number 3, the wisdom reaped. What are we going to reap if we'll put in the work, if we'll receive the words, what will we, reap? Y'all forgive me. I'm having trouble with that word tonight. Let's pray. Let's ask God to help. We're going to look at what we will reap if we'll receive the words and if we'll put in the work, okay? Father, thank you for another opportunity. Father, thank you for the time that you've already given us with the children tonight. I thank you for them. Father, I pray that you'd help them tonight. Father, it's evident that we've been off for a week. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'd help the kids tonight, at least in the remainder of the night. Lord, help them to be attentive, help them to listen and to be obedient, help them to be respectful. Father, I pray that they'll learn. That's what we're here for. We're here to learn. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them to do so. Lord, help us in here tonight. Help us to learn. Help us to be reminded. And Father, help us to even tonight commit afresh and anew that we're going to put in the work that is required. We're going to receive your word. We're going to be diligent, as Deuteronomy 6 says, with painstaking effort so that we can reap your wisdom. And so, Lord, remind us of that tonight, and we'll thank you for it. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The wisdom reaped. What will we reap tonight? Number one, we will reap perception. We will reap, first of all, tonight, perception. The Bible says in verse number 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We will reap perception. Understand. Then shalt thou understand. What will we understand? First of all, we'll understand the Lord's reverent position. We will understand the Lord's reverent position. In verse number 5, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We will understand. We will perceive the Lord's reverent position. We spoke about this a couple of Sundays ago about his reverent position. We spoke about Isaiah in Isaiah chapter number 6, and we spoke about worship. And actually, we spoke about that on praise service night a week ago on Tuesday night. And I gave you 3 words regarding worship. Anybody remember those 3 words? It's been a week, Pastor. We had Thanksgiving, we had turkey, we had ham, we had dressing, deviled eggs, apple pie. Anybody get any coconut cake? I didn't get any coconut cake. So sad. Three words. Anybody remember? We're talking about worship. Remember the three words I gave you to help us kind of get a little better understanding of the word worship? First word's presence. Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up in Isaiah chapter number 6. Presence. And here's the truth. We can come to the presence of God on a daily basis. And we should we not? We should. Worship just isn't contained to this place, although we mentioned this is a significant place, but it's not just contained in this place. It's not just contained on a day. It's not just contained on Sunday. Presence, and what was the second word? Reverence. Presence, reverence. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, what did he say? He said, "Woe is me." He understood who he was. He understood who God is. Presence, when we come into the presence of God, and again, we should do this daily. We come into His presence, there ought to be reverence. We see ourselves for who we are. We acknowledge who we are. We're nothing. We're helpless. We need Him. And we acknowledge that He's everything. We acknowledge that His glory fills the temple. We acknowledge that He is thrice holy. And then what was the third word? Presence, reverence. What was the third word? Obedience. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, when he saw himself for who he was, he said, "Woe is me." And then in verse number 8, what did he say? He said, "Here am I, send me." Presence, reverence, and obedience. So, one of the first things that we reap is perception, understanding. And we will perceive His reverent position. The Bible says there in verse number 5, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord." You're going to see Him and reverence Him for who He is and for His position. And so we understand, we perceive His reverent position. Then we'll perceive also not only His reverent position, but His revealed precepts. The Bible says in verse number 6, and verse number 5, it says, "And find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous." We'll perceive His reverent position. We'll perceive His revealed precepts. And then we'll perceive His righteous path. Verses 8 and 9. "He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Then shalt thou understand." There's the word again. Understand. We'll perceive. "Then shalt thou understand" what? Righteousness. "And judgment and equity. Yea, every good path." You know, one of our prayers ought to be every day is just very simply that God will guide us and direct our steps on the right path every day. Every day. "God, direct my steps today." Because here's the truth. His steps are different than our steps. You'll get up tomorrow morning, Thursday morning. I don't know what each one of you has on your schedule, on your calendar tomorrow. But I can almost guarantee that if I just stopped talking right now and gave you a moment, you could think about everything you have you must do tomorrow. But you know what? That may not be what God wants you to do tomorrow. And by the way, that's the same for me. If I sat here for a moment, I can think about all the things I'd like to get completed and accomplished tomorrow. Okay, but that may not be God's plan. He helps us. He reveals. He helps us to perceive the righteous path. He helps us to perceive and understand, this is the way, walk ye in it, this is the way that I want you to go today. This is the right path. These are the right steps. Presence, reverence, obedience. First of all, we will reap perception. "Then shalt thou understand." Can I give you another word that's very similar? How about the word discernment? a character trait that is very much lacking in our world today. And let me say, very much lacking in our Christianity today. Discernment. You know, there's some things that we just ought not do. And it's God's Word that gives us the discernment to know that. It's God's Word that gives us the understanding and the perception to know, you know what? I ought not do that. That just doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense for the child of God to do. And it's God's Word that gives us perception. My wife can attest to this, but boy, I just, things blow my mind sometimes. And I'm like, why, how in the world did they even think that was okay to do? And then the Holy Spirit brings me back down and says, you know what? They just don't know. They don't have perception. They don't have discernment. They don't have wisdom because they don't know God's Word. They don't know my Word. So first of all, we will reap perception. Understanding. We'll understand, we'll perceive His reverent position, we'll perceive His revealed precepts. Verse 5, he says, and find the knowledge of God, His revealed precepts. And then we'll understand, we'll perceive the Lord's righteous path. By the way, it's a good path. That's what the Bible says. It's a genuine path, judgment and equity. And it's a guarded path. Keepeth and preserveth. It's a guarded path. The church we were at Sunday, the church that Paige goes to, they're having a family crusade this week, and the gentleman that spoke, he was talking about, it was good, I'm telling you, it was good. Just reminded me of how important it is to reach kids. I mean, I know that. And we emphasize that tremendously here. I think sometimes people get tired of it. We're not going to get tired of it. We're not going to get tired of it. Because the vast majority of Christians get saved when they're children. Because we're not going to stop emphasizing kids. So I was thankful, I was reminded of that once again. But he was talking about guarding and protecting our kids. He was using the illustration of the castle. He was talking about all the different elements that are involved in the protection of a castle. And to the great extent people go to or went to protect a castle. Most of the time they would dig a moat around it. They would have a drawbridge. Drawbridge goes down when people need to go, but when they're not going, it comes back up. The drawbridge, the iron gates. He talked about the castle gates themselves, that was it 40 tons? Should have wrote it down. But I think he said 40 tons that those doors would have weighed. It took a system of pulleys and chains to be able to open those doors. And his point was, you're not just going to come and knock on the door and walk in. Okay? Now, it's going to take some effort to get in those doors. And then he talked about called it the murder house. A little house right above the gates of the castle where the soldiers would be posted. And this, almost like a gatehouse, almost like a security guard house, like a guardhouse. But it was up above on the castle walls. It's up above the gate and comes right over the gate. And there's a hole in part of it. And this house is filled with stones or rocks that most of them weighed at least 90 pounds. And so when the enemy would come to the gate, all the soldiers would have to do is roll these stones and these boulders and drop them right through this hole down on top of the enemy. It's called a murder house. I thought, wow, I never heard that. But he told all of that very simply about how much effort they went to protect the castle and the people inside of it. And his point, you know the point. The point was that's how much effort we ought to go to protect our families. That's the painstaking effort Deuteronomy 6 is speaking about, that we diligently teach. And his point was that we should give that much energy, we should give that much effort, we should go to those extremes to be able to protect and to watch over and defend our families and our children. And the Bible says here in Proverbs chapter number 2, verse number 8, He keepeth. That's that guard. He guards. He keeps. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. It's a good path. It's a genuine path. But it is a guarded path. We will reap perception. Number two, we will reap preservation. We will reap perception. But secondly, preservation. Verse number 10. We see it here. In verse number 8, he says, He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. Verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Notice verse 11. Discretion, very akin to discernment, but discretion shall do what? Preserve thee. Discretion shall preserve thee. The word discretion, it means to count the cost. It means to make decisions with our eyes wide open. We're counting the cost before we make that decision. We're counting the cost before we go into that choice. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Number one, perception. Number two, preservation. We will be delivered from the evil man, and we will be delivered from the enticing woman. We will be delivered from the evil man and from the enticing woman. We'll be delivered from his words. His words are devious. We'll be delivered from that. He walks in darkness. His wickedness is his delight, and his ways are depraved. Look what the Bible says here. It says, to deliver thee from the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. His words are devious. Forward means perverted and devious. Perverse, contrary to what is right or good. His words are devious. He walks in darkness. And so God's word, wisdom, will preserve us from the evil man. His wickedness is his delight. Bible says in verse 14, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Froward, perverted and devious. Now, dear friend, we need to have discretion today. We need to make decisions with our eyes wide open, because we live in a very perverted, very froward and contrary culture. If you have your eyes open, you see it. We live in a very perverted culture. Very perverted culture. I saw someone today just made the comment that this is where all of this is leading to and has been leading to for the whole time. This whole thing about same-gender marriage, this whole thing about transgenderism, this individual made the point that all of this has been leading to the normalization of pedophilia. And that is exactly right. We live in a perverted and dark culture. And not only do we need to be preserved from that, but our children need to be preserved from that. Grandparents in here tonight, your grandchildren need to be guarded and preserved from that tonight. It's everywhere. It's all around us. Never imagined how quickly all of this would come into the light. And the Bible says that it is wisdom that's going to preserve us from all of this. How do I raise kids in a day like today? How do I protect kids in a day like today? God's Word. That's it. How are you going to protect your kids? How are you going to protect yourself? How are you going to keep yourself from slipping into the melees of what's going on today? How are you going to protect your kids from everything that's going on today? The wisdom of God's Word. That's their protection. That's what the Bible says. God's wisdom will preserve. Preserve from the evil man. His words are devious. He walks in darkness. His wickedness is his delight. And his ways are depraved. The Bible says in verse number 15, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths. And here's the truth tonight, dear friend. We have to be on guard. We have to be and put in the effort and the energy like the builders of those castles. Because the truth is tonight it can happen to any of us. Truth is tonight it can happen to my kids, just like it happens to some kid out there who doesn't go to church three times a week. If we're not careful. And if we don't ground them in the wisdom of God's Word. But here's the wonderful thing. The Bible says that the wisdom of God's Word will preserve them. It'll preserve them. It'll keep them. It'll guard them. That's why they need more of this. They need more of this. They need less TV. They need less video games. I'm not against video games. But they need more of this. They need to be at church. I saw another good, this is a Charles Spurgeon quote today. It said, a faith that will not take you to church probably won't take you to heaven. That's good. And that's pretty cutting, isn't it? But it's true. A faith that won't take you to church probably not going to take you to heaven either. God's Word. That's what we'll reap perception. We'll reap preservation. We'll be delivered from the evil man. But secondly, we will be delivered from the enticing woman. With discretion, our eyes will be wide open to these individuals. We will be delivered from the enticing woman. Verses 16 through 19. Hey parents, tonight, especially dads, moms too, if you have boys, there are enticing women out there. And it's so available. Look what the Bible says. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth. By the Bible is very clear that she had some guidance in her youth. That someone told her the truth in her youth. But she forsook it. And forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. We will reap preservation. We will be delivered from the enticing woman. Her words are flattering. Her guide is forsaken. Her covenant is forgotten. And her house is fatal. Her words are flattering, divided, and deceitful. Her guide is forsaken. Her guide is forsaken. Her covenant is forgotten. And her house is fatal. What will keep us from that? Hey, men tonight, what will keep us from that tonight? The Word. The Word. Men tonight, what will keep us from the flattering words of the strange woman? Strange woman is the woman who's not ours. It's not just, whoo, she's a strange character. No, no, no. It just means she's not ours. She's strange to me. She's not mine. My wife is not strange to me. We're one. She's mine. But any other woman, she ought to be strange to me. Because she's not mine. The Bible says, from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the God of her youth, forgetteth the covenant of her God. Her words are flattering, her God is forsaken, her covenant is forgotten, and her house is fatal. Let me give you number three. The wisdom reaped. What will we reap? Perception, preservation. And then number three, preservation's good, perception's good, but number three, perfection. Look at verse number 20. that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land. And the, what? What's the word there? The perfect. The perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. The perfect shall remain in it. Perfect carries the idea of wholeheartedness and single-mindedness. It carries the idea of maturity. Maturity, spiritually mature, excuse me. We will reap perfection. By the way, where do we find that word in the New Testament? 2 Timothy 3, verse number 17, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What furnishes him? Verse number 16 of 2 Timothy 3. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, spiritually mature, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We will reap perfection. But you got to put in the work. You got to receive the Word. You got to put in the work. You got to painstaking effort, diligent. Then we will reap. We'll reap perception, preservation, and perfection. The perfect man will reside in the land. The perfect man will remain in the land. The perfect man will not be rooted out in the land. Wholeheartedness, single-mindedness. We will reap perfection. That doesn't mean we never sin anymore, but that means that we are growing and we are maturing spiritually. That we are furnished, as 2 Timothy 3:17 says, that we are furnished unto every good work. We're furnished, we're equipped to do that which God has called us to do. Spiritually mature. But it doesn't happen if we don't put in the work. If we don't receive the words. My son, what does he say in verse 1? If thou wilt receive. Receive what? My words. And hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. You know, that's what we're trying to do on Wednesday night. We're trying to teach kids the Word of God. We're trying to get kids to place the Word of God in their hearts. We're trying to teach kids verses and get them to memorize and place the Word of God into their hearts. We're trying to get them to do what we're talking about tonight at an early age. We're trying to get them to receive the Word and to put in the work required so that they, even at a young age, can reap wisdom. So that they, even at 8, 9, 10, 13, 14, 15, can make wise decisions. Wisdom isn't based upon an age. Maturity isn't based upon an age. Now, he's 40 years old. He's mature. Maybe, maybe not. He's 50 years old. He's mature. Maybe, maybe not. But we can have 13-year-olds who are mature because they listen to God's Word. They receive it. They put in the work. They incline their ear. They search. They seek. They cry for God. And they reap wisdom. God gives them perception. God preserves them because of His Word. They're preserved because they have perception. They're preserved because when the enticing man comes, or the enticing woman and the evil man come, when they come, they have the Word of God to battle against them with. They have wisdom. We will reap perfection. We reap what we emphasize. We reap what we emphasize. The words received, the work required, the wisdom reaped. I've been reading a book. Almost read it. I still have a couple chapters left, but I was reading a book this past week while we were away on the last great hero of the Titanic, Baptist preacher named John Harper. And something caught my attention in the book. First part of it was talking about what happened on the Titanic that night, but then the remainder of the book is primarily just testimonies from different men and different individuals who knew him, primarily preachers and evangelists who knew him. But there was a statement about him that caught my eye, caught my attention. It said in there, he had no hobby, he had no entertainment. He was consumed with Christ and making Christ known. That's convicting to me. I'm not saying tonight you shouldn't have a hobby. But everyone who gave testimony of this man, he died when he was 39 years old. Everyone who gave testimony of him gave testimony of the fact that he was consumed with the Lord's work. He was consumed with preaching. He was consumed with study. He was consumed with giving the word. No entertainment, no hobby. He was consumed with the word. And we have people today who say, don't work too hard. You'll burn yourself out in the ministry. I get what they're saying, but he was consumed. I believe it was like the Apostle Paul. He was consumed with Jesus Christ and making him known. I say that very simply because probably every single one of us tonight, including myself, we could work harder when it comes to receiving this word. We could do more work in the study of this word so that we could reap more wisdom, so that we could reap perception and preservation and perfection. And I believe we could help our kids to understand the same truth. Oh, but they've got to have a lot of downtime and they need to do this and do that. I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm not saying that. I believe we give them too much downtime. I believe we give them too much entertainment. Too much amusement. Instead of having them muse on the Word of God. We reap what we emphasize. And God help us to emphasize the right things. Amen? God help us to do that. God help us to mull and meditate on Proverbs 2. Would you do that this week? Maybe would you do that in the next couple of days? Just go back and read it a couple of times. It's not hard. Easy chapter. And just meditate on it. God, help me to receive your words. Help me to put in the work that is required. Because Lord, I want to reap wisdom. I want to know. I want to walk in the right path. I want to walk in a good path. So God, help me with that. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the time you've given us. Father, may we emphasize those things which are most important. Because Father, that's what we reap. It doesn't matter what we emphasize. We're going to reap it. If we emphasize that which is good, we're going to reap. If we emphasize that which is marginal, we're going to reap. If we emphasize that which is bad, we're going to reap. God, help us to emphasize that which is best. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it. Lord, help us as we go to prayer. Help us as we go home to our homes tonight. Father, may you give us safety. May you give us a good rest of the week. May you give us opportunities to be able to give the gospel. Father, may we take opportunities to invite folks to the Christmas cantata. May we take opportunities to hand out a Christmas tract. May we take opportunities to tell someone about the good news about Jesus Christ. Father, help us with that. We love you. We thank you for what you've done in our hearts tonight. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. It is about 5 to 8. If you need to go, I understand. But if you have some time, if you can, let's take some time and pray, okay?